This time of year, I get asked quite frequently, Father, so do you go to all the open houses for all the students? No, how can you stay so thin and still go to all these open houses? How do you decide which ones you go to? And so I have a very, very unique system on how I decide which open houses I go to. It's very advanced, very unique. If I get an invitation, I come. Now, for the next 3 minutes, some of you are going to feel kind of awkward because, you know, you didn't invite me. Okay, let's just get over that. I'm a priest. I'm used to being in awkward moments. And so I know that there's 89 of you, and I got about 70, so 19 of you didn't invite me. That's fine. We'll get over it. And just a little bit of a public service announcement for those of you who aren't having your open house Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, I'm not going to be able to make it. My brother's graduating from Williston High School up in Williston, so in order for my family not to disown me any more than they already want to, I better go home and be with my brother for those days. So I'm sorry I'm going to miss so many of yours. But I have enjoyed getting invited to, like I said, about 70 of them. And when I do get invited, I put them in a folder right here, a nice little filing system next to my desk. And so I have them all here, right here, all 70 of them. They're great. I think mine was like a snapshot picture with a marker on the back that said, come to my open house. But now we've really stepped up. Beautiful graphics, beautiful pictures, great other things like that. And so I hope that in the years to come, I can look through this file every once in a while and pray for you. But if you're looking to give any advice to your underclassmen on how to be the center of attention at the baccalaureate homily, put on your graduation announcement a quote from the Pope. Like, if you put a quote from the Pope on your graduation announcement, I am sure to use it. I can guarantee you that. And so, some of you might have got invited to Jacob Huber's open house. His face is about as red as a shirt right now. And he has this quote on there from Pope Benedict I'm going to share with you here in a second. But before I do so, his father, Lane, I was told, found this quote, and he saw it on the diocesan vocation poster that has all the seminarians throughout the diocese on there. I saw the quote, it caught my eye back in September when we hung it up around the parish, around the school. But then I started thinking, I know who makes these posters. And it's Father Waltz. And I know Father Waltz, and so do you. And I thought, did Pope Benedict really say that? Or did Father Waltz want Pope Benedict to say that? Because it was too good to be true. And so I looked into it, and Pope Benedict actually said it. Father Waltz didn't just make it up. And the quote's this. The world offers you comfort, but you were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness. So students, class of 2015, I'm not going to put Jacob Huber on the spot any more than he already has been. But what does greatness look like? We need to be able to answer that question today. What does greatness look like? Now, some would say greatness looks like the amount of cha-ching, cha-ching you have in your bank account. Some might say it's the number of square feet of your home. Some might say it's your title or how many letters you have after your name. If you ask James and John in today's gospel, they would say greatness looks like standing at Jesus' right and left, being seen as very popular and prestigious because you're next to the Messiah, the King of Israel. So what does greatness look like? In order to answer that question, I came down with a plan. Now, I've spent a lot of time, actually spent about a year, thinking of all the things I want to tell you, class of 2015. From about last year this time, when 2014 graduated, I've been thinking, what do I want to say? And thanks be to God, I had Monday, Memorial Day, to really sit down and consider some of the thoughts that have been going on in my head the last year. And I thought I was doing pretty well until I got a phone call from my mom that night. And she said, well, what'd you do all day? I said, well, I came up with my homily for baccalaureate. And she said, isn't that like one of the most important homilies you give all year? I said, yes, it is, Mom. Thanks for the reminder. No wonder I don't call home more. So, in order to answer this question of what is greatness, here's what I want to do. Three phrases, three corresponding actions, one final exam question, one plea, and what do we have? Biblically bodily greatness. So here we go. These three phrases I'm going to share with you, class of 2015, are so simple. And to be really honest with you, many of you are better at doing them than we as adults. And so everything I'm going to say, I'm speaking to myself. So let's make sure we're clear on that. The three phrases I want to share with you, if you keep them in your mind, in your heart, and coming from your lips throughout your lives, I can guarantee you, you will experience true and authentic greatness. They are so simple. You ready? The three phrases. Help. Thanks. And I'm sorry. Are your minds blown? Those are pretty simple, aren't they? But if you think about it, we're not always that great at saying those three things. Help, thanks, and I'm sorry. And so students, young people, never, ever, ever be afraid to ask for help. We as Americans, that's very hard to do because we believe in the self-made man. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps and not ask for help. And so oftentimes when we need it most, we're too proud to ask for it. I know I am. So never ever be afraid for the rest of your lives when you need it to reach out and ask for help. Because the good news is there are people who want to help. And so no matter where life takes you, no matter what happens, no matter what decisions you might make, never be afraid to ask for help from a trusted friend or from a parent or even from your former chaplain. Never be afraid of that. And I can't guarantee you that I'll always have the answers for you. I might not. I might not even be able to offer all the things you want to hear, but I make you this promise. I will always listen. So never be afraid to ask for help. Second, thanks. We also live in a culture that doesn't quite know how to say thanks all the time. But I've been really impressed with many of you in these last days and weeks, how intentional you are at saying thanks. Whether it's a note, whether it's a kind word, whether it's a gesture, that you young people really do know how to say thanks to people that have sacrificed for you. So, I know these are busy days for you. Please make sure that you don't simply push off giving thanks, especially to your parents, to a later time. Take some time this week to thank them for the wonderful gifts they've given you, the gift of life, for the gift of a Catholic education in which they have sacrificed tremendously for you to have. Never be afraid to give thanks. And thirdly, and sometimes most importantly, I'm sorry. You might not know this, but there are times when people walk around this world for 20, 30, 40 years carrying bags and bags of resentment and self-pity and anger, and they're not free. And all that happens oftentimes because we're unable to say, I'm sorry. And so in these final days of high school, if there's any relationship you have that you know needs healing because you simply need to take the initiative and say, I'm sorry, please do that. Saying sorry is a hard thing to do, isn't it? Because we have to admit that we're wrong. We're vulnerable. We don't know how it's going to be received. But I can guarantee you that it will bear fruit, that peace will come through simply saying, I'm sorry. And so, those are the three phrases. See how this works? Now, everything I've said so far, I could say at Bismarck High School. Everything I've said so far, I could say at Bismarck State College. Because I haven't said anything about God, the faith, or Christ. But you know what's really cool? Those three phrases I have given you all have a corresponding action for how we live as Christians and Catholics. How does a Catholic say help? How does a Christian say help? And these three things I'm going to give you now, I want you to have in your mind as you go to college, because the question that drives me the most crazy sometimes is when people say this, Father, how do I keep my faith in college? And the reason it frustrates me so much, that question, because it's so simple, yet we complicate it way too much. It's really, really simple. And so these three corresponding actions I'm going to give you to the three phrases, here's the answer to the question, how do I keep my faith in college or the workforce or the military? So how does a Christian say help? We pray every day. We relate our hearts to God. We set aside time where we can let Him know what's going on in our lives. So make sure that you set time aside every single day to ask for help. And how does a Christian ask for help? We simply pray. How does a Catholic give thanks? It's fitting that the word Eucharist literally means thanksgiving. That when we come to Mass, we come to give thanks to Almighty God, to offer Him everything we've received from Him back to Him. And so the second way you keep your faith is by giving thanks through going to Sunday Mass. So parents, when you drive your children off to school and you drop them off, please make sure that they know where the Newman Center is or the Catholic parish, that they know where it is and they have a plan for how they're going to keep going to Sunday Mass. Some of you have already told me that you've talked to friends, that you're going to hold each other accountable. That's wonderful. Please keep doing that. Because the way that a Christian gives thanks is by Mass, by going to the Eucharist. And finally, how do we as Catholics say I'm sorry? We go to confession. We go to the source of forgiveness, who is Christ. And once we've received forgiveness from Him, we can then offer it to others. And so please don't let it be 6, 7, 8, 10, 20 years before the next time you go to confession. That is the source of forgiveness. And for a college student, there's a lot coming at you. And so please make sure that's happening frequently. Because I can guarantee you, if you're asking for help through prayer, if you're saying thanks through Sunday Mass, if you're saying I'm sorry through the sacrament of confession, you will then start to taste greatness. Now, I also said there was going to be one final exam question. And the question's for you, but it's actually about me. What do I mean by that? If Mrs. Kane or Bishop Kagan wanted to put down together an evaluation of me to figure out whether or not Father Johnson's doing his job as chaplain, what would I have them ask you? Would I have them, would you have to list the Ten Commandments, and then you list the Ten Commandments, they say, okay, Father Johnson's done his job. Would it be the seven sacraments? Would it be the principle of double effect? Hopefully not, right, you're saying? Would it be the just war theory? What question would they ask you to make sure that I am doing my job? It's this simple. After 4 years at St. Mary's Central High School, do you have a friendship with Christ? And are you intentional about bringing that friendship to others? How would you answer that? Do you have a friendship with Christ? And are you intentional about bringing that friendship to others? If the answer is yes, then I've succeeded. If the answer is no, then I've not done my job. And if the answer is no, we're people of hope, right? That I can guarantee you that if you're willing to do the work, God is about to begin in your life an amazing journey, and you will experience him in a way that you never thought was possible. Does that mean it's always going to be sunshine and rainbows and roses? No. But I can guarantee you that God has something in store for you. And so that's the evaluation question I want to give to you. And what's my final plea? You, class of 2015, are a tremendously gifted class. Whether it's athletics, or music, or arts, or academics, or being good friends, or having fun personalities, and being able to inspire people, you have been given so many gifts, and I make this final plea to you. Please not, do not simply put your gifts at the service of yourself, but please put them at service for God and others. That you have been given so much, please put your gifts at the service of God, and I can guarantee you, your life will bear fruit in ways you didn't even know was possible. We love you, class of 2015. I love you. I'm going to miss you. You're a rambunctious group. You know how to have fun, but you know how to love, and you know how to enjoy life. Keep enjoying life. Keep loving, and keep doing that for the glory of God and his kingdom, and inviting others into what you have received from our school. So back to that original question. What does greatness look like? It looks like that. Can you believe it? That's an image of greatness? Yeah. Because it's called self-sacrificial love. So how do you experience true greatness in life? You sacrifice yourself for love of others. And I can guarantee you, if you allow that love to sink deep into your heart, your own lives will then overflow in love to others, so that others may then be drawn into the love you have received from him. So don't ever buy into what the world says greatness is. Simply look at a cross and say, there's greatness. Self-sacrificial love poured out for another. And I know, class of 2015, you are capable of great things, and you will only be capable as much as you're willing to live out self-sacrificial love.